Isn't it nice to know that wherever we go, Christ is with us? Amen. You know, and it's been, I hope, a very good week for you, a very sweet week this past week as we follow along a life's journey. Okay, so we're in the book of Revelation, and it has been said that, you know, blessed are those who read this book. So I want you to be blessed. And what happened was last week we looked at the seventh trumpet, and as that were to happen, if you look at a picture graph, you've seen those timelines of the book of Revelation. We're not quite yet there at the half of the tribulation, okay? We're almost there. We're going to get there here in a few verses, actually. So everything is just leading up to this point. And, you know, we looked at last week, the worship in heaven. There was the that being going on, and it was praise and a hallelujah. The church was worshiping. That means you and I will be there while this is going on. And that's something else. We'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ is Lord. And then, of course, there's the judgment in heaven. While the judgment is going on during the tribulation period, remember, what is judgment means? It means this is going to happen so that people will what? Repent. Repent. This is nothing to do with, you know, just judging on people. And then, of course, there's the Ark of the Covenant. We looked at that last week as well. You had Aaron's rod was a picture. Remember, it was an almond clusters that blossomed from just a stick. And it's a picture of the resurrection. We had the manna pot. That was a picture of the Israelites wandering for 40 years. And that Jesus is the bread of life. And then, of course, we had the Ten Commandments. We cannot live by the law. It was given to us as a what? A schoolmaster. And thank God it's Jesus. And on the back wall, somebody put up the Ten Commandments. That's great. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to put up Jesus. So I put it on the other wall. I put Jesus. And thank God you can't have one without the other. Shows a man and Jesus in heaven just giving each other a bear hug. I love hugs, you know. So got to be careful how tight you squeeze them. Okay, so you have, now we're looking at the War of the Ages. Now let me pinpoint this here. Now remember, the church is gone. The church has been raptured. We're right in the hot spot of the tribulation period. You had the seals, and then you had the trumpets. We're at the end of the trumpets. Now we're a little bit further on. We're going to get to the bowls. But there's a prelude. There's a pause right here. We have a glimpse of heaven that John shows us here. And now there's a vision. In verses 1 through 6, we're looking at the past war on earth. Now, these are symbolisms that John is giving here. Okay? And so we're looking at this. It says here in verse 12, and we're looking at here, first of all, verses 1 through 6, the past conflict on earth. He wants us to remind us, like we come to church, we're reminded of those things in the Lord. We encourage one another. Now, the great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun. Now, it's interesting that you have this picture of a woman, okay? And some expositors believe that this is the church is talking about. Well, it's not, because the church is pictured as the bride of Christ, okay? The woman here is Israel. So John is saying, look, we're under the dispensation of grace right now, okay? From the time of Pentecost to the time of the rapture. Now, in the tribulation period, God's grace will be turned over to the Israelites. Okay? Now, with that being said, that a woman, if this is the church, and then, you know, she cannot be that for obvious reasons. let me give you a theology lesson here. Just hold on a minute here, because there's a lot of false teaching out there. I want you to be aware of this. The church has replaced Israel. This is called replacement theology. They're saying, oh, you know what? God has given up on, Israel. No, God has not given up on Israel. I'm pleased to get away from those teachers that say that the church has replaced Israel. Number two, the church is an expansion of Israel. That's covenant theology. Okay? So, it is not an expansion. And then three, what we believe here is that the church is completely different, distinct from Israel, where dispensationalism and premillennialism, in other words, you have the dispensations, that means the timelines. I'm just bringing this out to you as a side note. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but you have this because it's so important how people dictate the book of Revelation. Okay? So I don't want you to get off on the wrong angle here. So there's a great sign appeared in heaven, and there was a moon under her feet. One, the sun was representative of a chosen nation. Okay? Israel is a chosen nation. Number two, you have the moon was a cycle of times of worship. So you look it back in the Old Testament, every time they had a time of worship, like the Feast of Tabernacles and all, it was also symbolic also of the way the moon was, because they couldn't look at times like we do today. They had to look at the sun, the way it moved, the way the moon moved as well. Okay, they did not have watches. They did not have clocks back in those days. Okay? Well, that's how God worked it all out anyhow. If you study your Old Testament theology, you will understand that. And then, of course, the 12 stars is symbolic of what? The 12 tribes. So a person who is an Israelite would understand that. A Jewish person would understand that. Okay? Remember, this book was written around 96 A.D. So you had a lot of Jewish Christians at the time. You had to think a little Jewish then. Okay? And her head and garland of the 12 stars, in the verse 1, then being with a child, so she can't be what? The bride of Christ. So with child is referring to the woman. It's referring to what? The birth of Christ. It came through that lineage of what? Israel. Okay? It's all prophesied. Mary and Joseph came together from different tribes, and they came together. It was a match made in heaven. Okay? So, and she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So, and this is again another symbolism, and you have to be careful about these, and don't believe everything you see on the internet. You got to do some serious studies, especially me up here, because I'm accountable to God. God's going to say, why? What were you doing? I'm like, Lord, you're God. I am just your servant. That, you know what I mean. You guys are at home. You study God's word. You take it seriously. And so there was that pain in that birth, and that's why there were so many issues, because the devil is doing everything he can to stop God's people. If he can't get you, he's going to go after your family. He's going to go after other people. He's always behind the scenes. We have to be careful as Christians that Satan doesn't use us. That's why Jesus said, rebuke you, Satan, to Peter. Because Peter was listening to what the devil was saying, not what Christ was saying. You have to be very careful. He uses your mind. It's all about the mind and the heart. Okay. So, moving on here. And then, verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery dragon. Now, the red dragon is the red part is one who brings death. Like you've seen the red horse, we talked about that before earlier in the book of Revelation. It brings death and war. Okay? It's also picture of the anger that Satan has ever since he was on, and we'll get to that in a minute. He was in the farthest regions of the north and in the heavenly hemisphere, and in the third heaven where God's throne is. We'll get to that in a minute. He was the anointed cherub. Anyway, he lost the battle there, and he's been angry ever since. He's been full of violence. He's hatred. There's nothing good about him. He's after us today. It says in Corinthians, he even has a target on our back. He has a design on you that he's trying to take you down. Okay, I don't have the verse, chapter, and verse, but it's that design. He wants to take you down. And then, in heaven, a great fiery red dragon having seven kings. And this is referring to the seven heads of prior world empires. Remember, we're looking at the past battles that were going on. Problem is, people today, they don't study. I love history. I love archaeology. And people don't study their history and don't repeat it. But anyway, the seven heads, one was Egypt. It held captive Israel captive 400 years. Remember, God spoke to Moses and said, let my people go. Don't let Satan hold you captive today. Then there was Assyria. Took northern 10 tribes captive in 722 B.C., remember, at that time, God's people were rebelling, and they were fighting against God. Then we see the third head was, it took the southern kingdom, which is Judah and Benjamin, and they destroyed the first temple in Nebuchadnezzar, where he reigned. And then the fourth one was the Medo-Persian, Haman. He tried to exterminate the Jews, and thank God for godly women. Esther was a beautiful, she had a beauty inside of her, and also there was a beauty, a godly beauty about her, and that's what God is looking for, is very precious in the sight of God, that beautiful part. So Esther was used of God and was able to overcome Haman, who was out to exterminate the Jews. And then also we see there was the Grecian Empire, Antiochus Epiphanes. I hope I got that right. It's a hard one to say. You know, break it down to syllables, right? He came from the Grecian Empire. He overran the Jews in 167 B.C. and he slaughtered a pig in the temple of God. He desecrated it totally because he just hated God. Let's put it to you that way. And then there's the Roman Empire, the sixth head. Destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in 70 A.D. And, of course, we have the seventh one, which is the revived Roman Empire, which will be like the Roman Empire, but it will be as it is. And we'll look at that in Revelation chapter 13. You can only do so much at a time. You don't want to get ahead of yourself. I'm trying to take this in order and not jump ahead here. So, then you see, so this dragon had having seven heads, seven empires that he was in control of, but God allowed this to happen. Okay, this, remember, this is the past conflict. And then the ten horns is referring to the ten toes in Daniel's dream that he had, that he interpreted there to King Nebuchadnezzar. A lot of expositors believe that's going to be the ten nations that are going to be under the Antichrist. Okay, the ten toes. We don't know yet. There are 21 nations there that are involved with the United Nations. I mean, not the United Nations, but the European Union. Okay. So we'll see what God does. Don't ever jump ahead on Bible prophecy because you end up looking foolish. And then there's the seven diadems, which are crowns. We'll get it right, diadems. Okay, and these were obviously the seven kingdoms that I had mentioned that were given power. Okay, when God's sovereign, he knows what he's doing. Again, pray about our issue in Iran. So, going on here in verse 4, remember, this is the past. And this has happened in ages in the past now, going back to the red dragon. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now, you'll see later on in this chapter that there's a great warfare going on. Now, this will precede what I'm saying here. But in Ezekiel 28:13-15, it says, this is talking about Lucifer, talking about Satan, the devil, but he was this. You were a seal of perfection. In other words, he was the cherubim that anointed. In other words, you see the four beasts that are around God's throne? Well, those are all cherubim. And he was the anointed cherubim that actually guarded God's throne. And I am very sure that and many years ago that he had a very close fellowship with the God, the triune God. And he thought one day, you know, if I can talk to him, then I can overcome him. Be careful who you're close with today. You know, leave an open mind. Just remember, anything can change. You know, I'm saying this out of love because sometimes those that are closest to you can hurt you the most. So there was a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. In other words, he was the best in God's creation amongst those in the host of heaven. Okay? And at that time, remember, this is before the Garden of Eden. And you were in Eden, the Garden of God, so he was there. I'm sure he did not present himself as Eve, as some disgusting monster. He was beautiful. And I'm sure Eve was very deceived because she was thinking, if this is from God, and, you know, he's telling me, did God really say, oh, I believe that because he looks so beautiful. That's how Satan works, you know. The doubt starts with a doubt. And you have to say no. And I know some people here are like, no. And that settles it. You know, I like being around those people, truth speakers. And it says here, every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Whew, beautiful. You put some light on that, I'd make anybody who wears jewelry run back to the jewelry store and say, yeah, I want more of this, you know. Anyway, so your of your timbrels and pipes was for you in the day of you were created. So,
you know, one hand, you had Lucifer, who was the song leader. And you had the angels, Job chapter 1, which were the chorus. And it was just a beautiful harmony at that time. Now, this is, remember, this is before the fall. And so you were anointed cherub who covered or guarded God's throne, established you. You were holy in the mountain of God. And give me this background so you understand where the red dragon came from, only that. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfected in your ways from the day of you were created until iniquity was found in you. Now here comes the fall. Okay? God says this, oh, you are fallen from heaven. Now again, we'll look at the five steps how the red dragon has fallen from God's heaven to the lake of fire. We'll look at that in a minute. Oh, you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning. You were cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, these are the five I wills. I will ascend to heaven. In other words, take over God's throne. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God and other God's creation, angels and everything else. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. That's where God's throne is. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, a picture of hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. So, he deceived himself. He deceived the angelic host that went after him. And that's why it says that the red dragon, now why do they call it a dragon? Well, I don't have time to get into that. It's another study that with Leviathan. And it's fascinating, so I'll talk about that later on. But he takes a third of the angels with him and the stars here with him. And so now he's had his war in heaven. He's been, you know, hasn't been totally tossed out yet because he's still the accuser of us. He goes before God day and night and accuses us before God. And let me just say something. Just be careful we don't accuse one another. Don't even go there because we're doing his work. Don't be a tool of the devil. Stay away from that. I've been guilty of that in the past. Just walk away from that. Have nothing to do with that, okay? If you don't understand, take it to the altar of prayer. So the dragon stood before the woman. Now he's tossed out. And, you know, he's taken a third of his host with him. And he's standing before the woman, Israel, okay? And remember, this is still the past conflict on earth. And who was ready to give birth, and that was with Christ, okay? The lineage going back, remember, okay? And to devour her child as soon as it was born. You know, it's interesting that you had, through that lineage of Eve and Adam and Eve, through that, remember Genesis 3:15, I don't have time to read that, but there was a warfare, bruising his heel, which was Christ, and crushing Satan's head. In other words, it was a fatal blow. That was it. The warfare is going on today. The war of the ages is still going on. You had Satan prompted Cain to kill Abel. Remember, he was angry. His sacrifice. God told him the right kind of sacrifice. He could have gone to Abel and gotten the right kind of sacrifice, but he thought, no, I know better, and he became angry. Pharaoh's attempt to kill all the male children in Egypt. See, there's that lineage going down the line. You know, if I can get rid of this, that, and the other, and Christ won't be born. So I think the devil had an inkling to that. And then also King Saul's tribe of Benjamin's effort to kill David through that tribe of Judah. Remember, King Saul was demon oppressed. Okay, people say, I don't know if he was really saved or not. I don't have time to get into that. Herod's, and I will later on, okay? Herod's kills all male children 2 years and older. Remember that? Because, you know, again, he knew that lineage was coming. Okay, since then, we've had the Holocaust. Nazi Germany took out a third of all Jews. A third of all Jews. Can you imagine? The tribulation will be two-thirds of all Jews will be killed. So, and even Joseph had to flee. Remember that before these teenagers were going to have to flee Jerusalem, go down to Egypt because they heard that Herod was out to kill them. Okay? It's a pretty ugly situation. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rule of iron. Again, it's a symbolism there of an unbending, unyielding, no compromise. So thank God one day Christ will rule. Amen. And I have to ask myself, Lord, as I submit myself, that means that I empty myself of me. Lord, can you help me? Can we surrender ourselves to God today? Are we continuing, let me encourage you, are we continuing to surrender ourselves more and more to God? Because if we don't, and this goes for me absolutely, that we can't grow in the Lord. We can't. We have to continue to surrender more and more of our lives. And it takes, yes, it does take a lifetime. Dwight L. Moody, right before his great revival, said, my life has been going on as usual, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God came to me, and all of a sudden people just started getting saved. He goes, I've been doing what I've been doing for years now, but the Spirit of God came upon me. And this is in his writings that, you know, people just started getting saved. It's all about the Spirit of God. So there's the millennial kingdom we're looking at here. He's referring to it as an encouragement. Isaiah 9:7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government of peace. On the throne of David and over the kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness for them on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So yes, the kingdom, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. It will come one day, and Christ will be ruling and reigning. And so, with that being said, and her child was caught up to God to his throne. Now he's referring to Jesus was being caught up there. And see here, it was caught up. Yeah, so then when the Lord, Mark 22:7, Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So this is referring again to her child through the lineage before in the past conflicts on earth. Remember, Jesus was risen from the dead and he rose up. Okay? And remember, the woman is Israel. I'm going to keep that in mind because a lot of people don't expository it properly. And they get all confused and it confuses people. But it makes sense. And then the woman fled into the wilderness. And, you know, this is a time when I looked at, you know, it could very well be in this area here called Petra, Jordan. So, in other words, during the halfway during the tribulation, now John goes back to the mid of the tribulation. And I'm being very careful. I'm taking my time so you understand this. You don't get confused. Now he's going back to this time of the woman fleeing into the wilderness. It's during the halfway during the tribulation. Remember, the two witnesses have witnessed. Remember, we looked at that. 144,000 have witnessed. Single male Jews, not the Jehovah Witnesses. Okay, so the two witnesses, who were they? A lot of them, people think it's Elijah and Moses. Okay, they were killed and they were resurrected. Okay, remember, they were dead for 3.5 days in Jerusalem. This is midpoint tribulation. So this is sounding more like a Sunday school time. It's midpoint, and then all of a sudden the Antichrist comes in, sets up an image there in God's temple. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant's not there. It's in heaven. And like we said, most expositors last week think that when Babylon came along to destroy the temple, they melted down the gold, and therefore they can't find it. There's five ways. So the woman fled into the wilderness. This is Israel. Okay, a lot of expositors think it might be Petra, which is in Jordan, which is about a 4.5 hour drive from Jerusalem. That's a long ways. But there are these Jordanian mountains which are there. I think one of the reasons why they have this here is that it's a great hiding place to go to. And of course, Petra is one of the seven wonders of the world, and so on and so forth. It's called the Rose City. But Jesus wants to encourage here, and I don't have time to get into everything. He says, and those who are in Judea, which is where Jerusalem is, must flee into the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go and get their things out of or in the house. Whoever who's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. In other words, once the Antichrist comes and he's cast from the third heaven to the second heaven to the first heaven here on earth, we'll look at that in a minute, he's going to be angry. He is going to be so angry. Remember, this cherubim, this Lucifer, is full of violence. Full of violence. Out of control anger. And he knows his time is short. Especially when he saw God, he saw all this. He's without excuse. Okay, we believe today by faith. So, they flee in the wilderness. At this time, 2/3 of all the Jews will be killed. Okay? Now, John is saying here, where she has a place prepared by God, the Israelites at this time. And yes, there will be people that are saved, okay, through the two witnesses and 144,000. Yes, there will be Gentiles that will be saved. But primarily, it's going to be for the Israelites. Think about it today, where you have the age of grace for the church. You have a few Israelites that are saved. Then they should feed their 1,260 days. In other words, that is half of the tribulation, 3.5 years. Moving on, verses 7 through 9. Now we look at the, first of all, we looked at the past war on earth, and now we look at the past war in heaven. It's getting back to heavenly conflict, 7 through 9. The war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Remember, he's the archangel of the angel angelic realm. And then, but they did not prevail. That means Satan's armies did not. And then there was no place found for them in heaven any longer. So just like the great white throne judgment, people are going to look for a way out. There is no way out because God's over everything. He's outside of materialism. He's in control of the whole kit and caboodle. And then the serpent, that old devil Satan who deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, give you an idea where the devil's going from being God's closest friend, in a sense, to the lake of fire. Number one, he was in the third heaven, Ezekiel 28:16. By the multitude of merchandise, they have filled the midst with thee with violence. He's talking about Lucifer at this time when he went to war with God. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fire. So he went from the third heaven, right next to God's presence, to the second heaven. And it says in Luke 10:18, then he said to them, I beheld Satan was falling from light of lightning from heaven. So he went to the second heavenlies, which is you're looking at the universe, the stars, things we look at here, okay? And then we look at the first heaven we just looked at here in Revelation 12:9, and this is during the first middle of the tribulation period. And the great dragon was cast out, and did the serpent called devil Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. We haven't gotten to that point yet, because he's still prince of power of the air. Okay, when God casts them out, has the idea he can no longer go before the presence of God. Now he's in the second heavenlies. Now we see here in the book of Revelation, he is cast to the earth. Okay, then fourthly, from the earth to the bottomless pit. We'll read this later on, Revelation chapter 20. An angel came down from heaven, having the key from the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the old dragon, the old serpent, the old devil Satan, bound him for 1,000 years. That will be the fourth step down for him. See, God's in control. Amen. Isn't that great? You've been harassed this week. You've had a war. Well, it is a war. It's a hot mess for some of us. Then we see the fifth area is the bottomless pit to the lake of fire, Revelation 20:10. The devil is deceived, cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, beast, false prophet, where they are tormented forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so we see those five steps. Then in verse 9, now John reiterates, goes back, so this is the midpoint of the tribulation period. In this verse, this is where you have the middle of the tribulation period. So it says here, so the great dragon cast out the serpent of old, the devil, the Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth, and the angels are cast with him. Okay. Then we see verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength, the kingdom of God, the power of his Christ has come, and the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God, day and night, has been cast down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's like this. He's been cast down. I want to encourage everybody. Now look at these three verses. We're overcomers. It says here, and they overcame him. That's you and I today. Listen to me. I'm pleading to you by the mercies of God. The blood of the Lamb. We have the blood. Okay? You sin, got it under blood. Good enough. I'm going to pick up my life. I don't keep marching on. You know what? I got God with me. Who can be against me? Right? Amen? And then number two, you have by the word of their testimony. I have a testimony. I have the word of God. Yeah, I might mess up every once in a while, but who's perfect? I haven't met a perfect person yet. I'm washed under the blood. I'm following what my testimony. I want to keep on keeping on. If you mess up in public, all you can say, you know what? Perfect witness opportunity. You know what? I did mess up, and I'm sorry. But you know what? God's forgiven me. And not once can anybody accuse you. Because remember, you ask God forgiveness, and you forgive yourself, please. I've seen so many beat up Christians today walking around with their armor all beaten up instead of being shiny and bright and charging like on their horses. Just we're in for this for the battle for the long run. And then, of course, they do not love their lives to the death. Well, I hope it's like God's not called you to be a martyr. He's calling you not to love your life, to put him first, and he'll take care of everything. You delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you what? Desires of your heart. He will do that. He'll give you everything you want as long as you're following him. He'll bless you. He'll take you. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. No, you're in the battle for the long run. God has called you. And I think a lot of Christians lost sight of this. That's why a lot of Christians don't go to church anymore. They're all over the place. I got hurt. Somebody said something. I heard something. And boy, I ain't ever going back to church again. Well, you know what? The devil's got them right where they want them. Right where they want them. And then we see verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, who dwell on the earth. And it says here, woe. It has the idea of great trouble. We're going to look at the third woes coming up here to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. The devil has to come down from heaven a great wrath because he knows his time is short. And then we see, of course, here in verses 13 through 17, the present and future conflict here on earth. Now, John is saying here, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, the woman, who will persecute the woman, that's Israel at this time. Remember, the church is being persecuted today. That's why we have a board out there, because there are hundreds of thousands of Christians being persecuted today. You know all that. And then it says here that it was persecuted and had been cast to the earth to persecute the woman who's Israel, who gave birth to the male child, which is Christ. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, and has the idea in Exodus 19:4. These are all metaphors that he throws out here to you. You yourself have seen what I did with the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. In other words, he's telling the Israelites here, I'm going to lift you up like Isaiah 41. I'm going to lift you up like eagle's wings. Isn't it wonderful you see birds out there who just lift up? Like, boy, I wish I was a bird. Some days you do. Okay, moving on here. So it says here, two wings as great as an eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness in her place. And in other words, God will give you protection. I don't have time to read everything it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, but I will say this. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness. Talking about Israel. Remember, even when they had wandered, and you had God's servants Joshua and Caleb came out of the promised land. So look, we understand there are giants there. Literally, the word was Nephilim. They were giant people. And whether you want to believe it or not, but I take everything God seriously. And there were, I'm not going to get into about giants, but I believe that there were. And that's fine. It's okay. But they were like, you know what? We need to go in there, and knowing that God will provide for us, you realize that there's a picture there of the Israelites going for 40 years, of God providing for them regardless. And then we see here that she might fly into the wilderness of her place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half. This is for 3.5 years. It's saying, look, you're going to run from Jerusalem, because the Antichrist is furious. He's come down to earth here, and he's going to make war with his saints. And he's making war with us today. For those 3.5 years, Israel is going to flee. Those that are left, the one-third that are going to flee, they're going to flee into the mountains of Jordan there. Okay, and truly, no expositor knows where it is going to be. Nobody. They talk about Petra and the red, beautiful pink red rock there, but they don't know. It says, from the presence of the serpent, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood, and after the woman, that she might cause her to be carried away in the floods. But the earth helped the woman. It's Israel. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood. In other words, it's a picture here of persecution. Psalms 69:1 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire, and there are no footfall. I have come into the deep waters, and a flood has overflowed me." But remember, it says this in Isaiah, that God always sets up a standard when the flood's coming. So if flood's coming, you know what? We have a dam right there. God's just going to back it up. And you know what? Eventually those waters will recede. Just look at nature. And then we see here, it says here, verse 16, "But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth, swallowed up the flood, which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman." He doesn't give up. Just because you may have a little tasty cake time. Remember that old commercial, take a tasty cake. Have a little time to yourself. God rests, lets you rest and replenish. And then it says here, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring." In other words, those that were left after all this terrible tribulation, as it were, and it, as it will, was, and as it will never be, forever and ever, amen. See, the tribulation period is going to be nothing like it, the way it's been on Earth's history for the past 7,000 to 8,000 years. So we're in the war of ages. So we're going to stop here. Next week we're going to look at this beast from the sea, and that's a whole another dish load of things to take from. But the war of the ages, remember, we are in a spiritual battle. Number one. Number two, we need the Lord's help. Number three, we are no match for the enemy. I'll close with James chapter 4, verse 7. Now listen to me. If you couldn't get anything, get this at least. It says, "Therefore submit." That word submit means to surrender to God. It has the idea of get myself off my throne, which is in my heart, and let the Lord Jesus rule and reign. And let me encourage you, resist the devil, and what? He must flee. He must flee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, like it says in Timothy, like Paul said, "I fought the faith. I fought the battle. I kept the faith. It was a good warfare." I pray that regardless of what happens, that somebody might have hurt us today. Somebody might have hurt us this past week. You might have been through a horrible situation that only you and the Lord knows about. And some of you are just fighting battles. It might be with a person or other people at work. I don't know. It might even be with yourself. I don't know. But remember, God is in control of everything. God knows everything. God will take care of you. God will bless you. God will see you through this. I just wanted to encourage you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.